We are in Genesis chapter 7 today as we continue our study. Lord, we ask that you speak to our hearts today, God. Just give us a greater confidence in you and in your word, God, as we just see how you dealt with the world before and in that great flood. And God, just help us to behold you more clearly today and again to become more bold in our witness for you in Jesus' name. Amen. So on chapter 6, how God took note of the wickedness of the world, that man's thought was wicked every day, all day, continually. The thoughts of mankind on the earth were going down that road of wickedness. Any of you who have pursued any wine of sin like drugs or anything else, you know full well that it consumes you. And if you can imagine living to be hundreds of years old, instead of just 70, how much you can get consumed. And so the world had become wicked. It was filled with violence. It had become a place that people were concerned with their own pleasure and their comfort and ease of life. And they were obsessed with sex. And, you know, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, it would be again in the time of his second coming. So if you want to know what the days of Noah were like, look around today. This is it. We're here again. The world is exceedingly wicked again. The demonic activity, the various things that were happening. God spoke to Noah. It says that Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. And as he found this grace, God spoke to him and told him to build the ark. God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence. And so I'm going to destroy the earth and everyone on it." And Noah was given that information. And then he was told to build the ark. Last week, we looked at the dimensions of the ark, the size of it. Very interesting that every known species that we do know about, the ark was large enough to take every species, including the dinosaurs, and still only use 60% of its capacity for the animals, allowing an entire 40% of it to be for food stores, which would have been needed. You know, God, as he throws these dimensions out here, they're not just accidental. That's precisely the size you would have needed to preserve life. You know, it's not just an arbitrary number that somebody made up, these cubits and so on. It is very precise what the word says, that and the ark was a huge undertaking. It was like 1,400,000 cubic feet, capable of holding everything, as I said. So God spoke to him, and the interesting thing is the last verse of chapter 6 says, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Think about that one verse. That one verse is about 110 years, 120 years of Noah's life. I mean, it took him, you know, well over 100 years to build this ark. And all that God says is, "Thus did Noah according to all that God said." Oh, I hope that that is what we hear at the end of our lives. "Thus did, because God said." God spoke to him. And then silence for so long. Over 100 years, God didn't say another word. You know, sometimes, how can I say this? God is always speaking in a certain sense. Anytime we want to open our eyes and our ears, we can hear God. We can open the Bible. We can read it. We can look at the sunrise. We can, you know, God in a certain sense is always speaking, and we can always tune in and you know, hear from the Lord by reading the Word. But this specific God speaking to somebody, not somebody just reading the Bible, but God barging into your life and saying, "I'm going to wipe the world out, but I'm going to save you, build a boat." I mean, that's pretty intrusive. I mean, that's a pretty radical message, isn't it? And then to just be quiet for the next 100 years while you're building this boat and not drop in once in a while and have a little chat is kind of hard. You see, I don't know that I have the kind of faith that Noah had. Because I think I would need more reassurance. I would constantly, I'd be stopping and going, was that really you, God? I mean, am I really, you know, can you give me another? I would have been asking for signs every few months, you know, if not even more. When here Noah had one word from God and worked for over 100 years preaching to a wicked world, not having one conversion, just preaching and working on that ark and building it. And 100 years passes until chapter 7 when the Lord speaks again. The Lord said to Noah in verse 1, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you 7 each of every clean animal, a male and his female, 2 each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Also 7 each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. All living things. 40 days and 40 nights of rain. We've recently had some thunderstorms out in the desert. Always amazes me in California. It hardly ever rains, but when it does, you know, we die. I mean, literally, you know, the Los Angeles River, all the, you know, there's no water in them ever, so, you know, kids play in them, and then all of a sudden we get a thunderstorm, and when the water comes, it just rushes through. But we've seen storms that can dump 3, 5, 6 inches of rain within an hour. Just a deluge, just pouring down somewhere, causes flash floods. Now, what we're talking about here is a global storm dumping 3 to 5 inches an hour for 40 days nonstop. Now, we would look at that today with current conditions on the earth and say that is scientifically impossible. It can't happen. But the world we observe today is the post-flood world. Prior to the flood, there was a vapor canopy, huge amount of water suspended above the atmosphere. There was a subterranean reservoirs of water, huge, that through the core heat of the earth, that water would be constantly circulating into spring-fed rivers. And so God here gives the first hint, saying, Noah, one more week and it's going to rain. 40 days. You got a week to go. Now, you see, I go back and I live in those days, and I'm just picturing what it would be like in my house if I went in and said, okay, Deborah, we got a week. I mean, it would be every shoe store in California. Okay, let's see. All the shoe store, everything can be wiped out, right? Yeah, this is it. Your last chance. I know jewelry, shoes, you know, we'd be running around getting certain things and packing them up, because I know just to go away for a weekend, you know, to take her somewhere. I mean, packing is just like, and here, you know, you're not packing to go on a cruise and come back. This is it. You get on that boat, and it lands where it lands, and you have no control. The world that you know will be washed away, and you're going to start over in a wilderness. What are you going to do? A week to go. I'm sure they were already very well prepared. The food stores were there. In the, you know, already on board. I know if I was Noah, I'd be walking around that ark going, there's got to be something I forgot. You know, is there some boards I haven't gotten any pitch on yet that are going to leak? You know, I would be given inspection after. I'd spend the whole week. I doubt if I'd sleep at all. I'd just be walking around going over every deck and trying to, have I thought of everything? Have I done everything? All the families moving all their stuff in, getting ready. Think about it. You're going to have to survive. All the technology, everything, the world as you know it's going to end. What do you choose to take with you? You're going to have to take some farming implements. You're going to, you know, they're going to have to plan this through. So God gives them 7 final days to get all these details worked out and get on board the ark. I'm sure they'd already been working on a lot of it, but still, 7 days. Some have speculated that God gave them 7 days because Methuselah had died, and 7 days was an appropriate time to grieve. Later in Genesis, we see that they grieve 7 days, and that does come up. So it could have been Methuselah, whose name means when he dies, the judgment. may have been that he had died, and being that they were related, that Noah and the family took 7 days to grieve, God allowed that before the floods would come. But now, for the first time, God says how it's going to happen. Now, silence for 100 years, now he says it's going to rain. Take every 7 of every clean animal. Now, this is interesting, because up until now, what would determine a clean and an unclean animal? Since they were vegetarian, God had not, he had told them to eat of every fruit of the tree and the herbs of the field. All of that was theirs, but God had not yet given man permission to eat meat. So clean and unclean animals. How Noah went about determining this? First of all, there was a use for animals that would have caused them to determine clean and unclean, and that use was sacrificial in worship for God. Even though they didn't eat the meat, they offered blood offerings. Something had to die, a substitute, just like Jesus had to die for us in those days. So there had to have been at least that much thought into it. However, I get the idea here that he somehow knew all the animals that God would later determine were clean and the ones that God would later determine were unclean. Largely domestic animals, things used for food, and so on. God is very interesting because you go through the Bible, he does set down a dietary law. And it is interesting because the things that he prohibited man from eating were pretty dangerous, from shellfish to pork. They were things that you can get diseases and poison from. You know, you can eat shellfish certain seasons and they're fine. Catch them in a bad season, you're dead. And rather than, you know, God just set down standards. And so now somehow Noah knew. So the clean animals, 7 of each, because later they would be lunch and they would need more, so that they wouldn't become extinct. And then 40 days it's going to rain. So Noah, verse 5, did all that the Lord commanded him. Did it all again. Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah, with his sons, in verse 7, his wife, his sons' wives, went into the ark because the waters of the flood, of the clean animals and of the animals that are unclean, of the birds and everything that creeps on the earth, two by two they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. And so these animals now, this last week, start boarding. They just start coming in. And again, remembering that even full grown, he could have fit all the animals on the ark. But I doubt that God sent full-grown animals. He probably sent young, healthy, selected species. Where are the dinosaurs? They couldn't survive in the New World. They died off very rapidly. You know, the flood changed the climate, the heat and cold. Reptiles just didn't do that well. So a lot of things would go extinct very rapidly, but to give them the best chance of survival, God probably would have chosen the particular 2 or 7 animals that would be just of an age just prior to breeding. And as I shared with you last week, they probably hibernated for that year on the ark, and after coming off would start replenishing the earth. And so Noah, 600 years old. Verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of the heaven were open, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Sequence here. God said it's going to rain. How is it going to rain? What trigger would take this planet that had a perfect greenhouse environment, this vapor canopy sitting over, increased barometric pressure, consistent temperature from wherever you were on this planet, no major weather patterns, how is God going to bring about rain? And we are told here that the sequence we pick up was that the fountains of the deep broke up. That was the trigger that set off the sequence, the reaction. Now, what caused the fountains of the deep to break up, we don't know. Some have speculated an asteroid hit the planet. On the opposite side from where most of the population was, it would set all the Earth's plates in motion, cracking them, that underground reservoirs would rupture and so on. Some have speculated it would be a near miss of a planet, maybe Mars, you know, something that got so close that it threw. We don't know what God did or how he caused that. But we do know this. The pressures built up to the point that these huge reservoirs of water broke and shot water up into the air. They broke, and when you think about this, the force that that water would have ruptured with would have been enough to penetrate right into space. Okay, it would have been a huge, you know, Old Faithful geyser, only of a magnitude of something we can't imagine. Because the pressure would build, and the Earth's crust, the rock layer over these underground reservoirs of water, which were huge because God had this underground watering system where the water cycled up through springs rather than the system we have today of rainfall. The water went under and came back up. And so a crack in the rocks where this water under tremendous pressure would just break out. And as it would break, it would follow the natural lines of weakness and continue to crack. And so continents were breaking up and collapsing, and the weight of those continents collapsing on those underground reservoirs would shoot water. It would cause volcanic action globally. Ash would go up into the air. It would combine the dust from all of this activity of the continents collapsing. The dust would gather in the vapor canopy, condense, turn into rain, and 40 days and 40 nights of rain. But what an incredible event. I remember one time working on a job when a guy on a backhoe hit a high-pressure gas line. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard a gas line, even medium and low pressure, and they break them. They're noisy, the hiss from that. But I've been around several times. Usually you just, you know, you don't use your power tools. You kind of clear the area out until gas company comes out. But I was out there, and they digging deep, and they hit a, and I mean the noise from that was incredible. I mean, you couldn't stay there. You had to get away. The noise of just that, that's nothing compared to the pressure in the water. I picture you get on the ark, and all of a sudden you just feel the earth shift, and you know, the sound and the roar. The people who are outside that could see would just see these geysers shooting off, and after that, water condensing and starting to fall to earth, and the entire climate collapsing. You see, a gentle flood could not have destroyed it. And by the way, the water kept rising after the 40 days of rain. You know, it just kept on going that way. So the deep, these underground reservoirs broke open, ruptured, water shooting up, and in turn, whether it was an asteroid, a comet, just a huge shift, whatever God did, he did what he wanted. The pressure built. The plates broke open. The water came gushing out. In verse 13, on the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark, they and every beast after its kind, all the cattle after their kind, everything that creeps on the earth after its kind, every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark of Noah, to Noah, two by two, of all flesh in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. I don't know if you noticed, but we're going over the same moment in time several times over. God said, come in. They came in. They went in. The fountains of the deep break open. Now, again, they come in. So first of all, it was an invitation. Noah, each of his children, and their wives all had a choice to go or not to go. They all chose to get on board. All the animals that God had selected, driving by migrating instincts or however God chose to do it, went, got on the ark. When they were all on, God shut the door. I love that. I can't tell you how thankful I am that God did not tell Noah, close the door. Imagine being Noah. I'm passing final judgment. When I close this door, they are doomed. It was closing the door of an age. It was the end of a time. It was the end of the earth as he knew it. And God didn't put that responsibility on man, but took it himself and put Noah in and shut the door himself. And one of the things that we see is when God shut and sealed that door, man, Noah, and everybody inside were absolutely safe and secure. But number two, everybody outside was absolutely judged and lost. I don't think I could have lived with myself if I had to close the door. I don't know if people were pounding on the outside of the ark when the rain came. Kind of doubt it, because I think the conditions were so violent. You see a flood that, you know, I've been in Elsinore a long time. I don't know how many of you were here in the early 80s when we had the flood, when the lake flooded. But, you know, we can't even have a disaster ride out here. I mean, you know, it was like a slow motion disaster. It's like, you know, the lake just came up. You know what it reminded me of? It went for about almost like 8 months that the lake just kept rising. Even after, long after it quit raining, the lake kept coming up. And I can remember, you know, driving around thinking, this is like living next to a toilet, wondering if it's going to overflow. You know, have you ever had one of those where you flush and it backs up and you're going, oh no, oh no. Okay, and you turn the water off and you're waiting, you know, and it's getting right up to the rim. You're going, okay, stop, stop, okay, okay, you know, and then no, it goes over. You know, that's what it was like living here, only it went on for month after month after month. You know, this building was completely, this was an island. The water was up to the bottom floorboards where you're sitting right now. The front patio was underwater. This was just an island here. And they had the flood canal torn in half. The rabbi actually had a heart attack trying to save the building, sandbagging, and couldn't. And, you know, the lake was right up here. But you see, the time of Noah, the flood came on so rapidly that the ark was floated very quickly. For 40 days, it rose up. God sealed them in. The final decision was made. The age, that time came to a complete end. This ark now floating. We're coming to the end of another age. Not the end of the world, but the end of an age. And Noah had 7 days notice, but you know what? We're not going to have any advance notice of the end of this age. The door's just going to close. The church is going to be taken. Those that are left behind are going to face a very terrible time. You know, it's important to be on board, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I want to be on board. When the door closes, I want to be on the right side of the door. And I'll just say it outright. I fear God. I don't want to be on the wrong side. I don't want to be left. I've read how things are going to come down. I don't want to be around here, and I don't want you to be around either. You want to be on the right side. You want to be right. You want to believe in Jesus Christ. See, we don't even have to build an ark. I mean, all we have to do is believe. You know, I mean, we don't have to spend 100 years making a boat. And in fact, if you did, I'd seriously think about checking you in somewhere. But so the flood in verse 17 was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted the ark. It rose high above the earth. And the waters prevailed and greatly increased in the earth. And the ark moved about on the surface of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth. And all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered, and the waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. So the top of the highest mountain peaks were 15 cubits underwater, about 30, 35 feet deep at the very shallowest point on the earth at that time, which is interesting because the ark, from its size and dimensions and the approximate weight that it would have had, would have drawn about 15 feet of water. So it means the ark could have floated anywhere on the earth and not bottomed out until God's time when he would decide. And I want you to notice for 40 days, the water increased, and then it kept increasing. That word prevailed in verse 19 and again in verse 20 was that the water kept rising. So even after the 40 days of rain, these fountains were not done. Continents were still settling. Water was still rising. I am sure that the very fabric of the atmosphere was torn, and that huge amounts of water were lost to outer space during this time. That everything in the world that we see today has changed drastically. And a violent storm, it couldn't have gone the way Lake Elsinore flooded. The sedimentary rock that is all over the world would have happened fairly quick. You know, the minerals that would have been suspended in the waters would have began settling very rapidly. The sedimentary rock, the lowest forms of animals, of course, would have died first and been at the bottom. The higher and more intelligent the animal was, the further up it would go until finally you get to man. Man could have survived. Many, if not most, would have found something to hang on to and float and survive for days, if not weeks, before they died. Which meant if they survived for weeks, most of the sedimentary rock would have already been formed. And therefore the absence of men in the fossil column and the presence of everything else. Also, the complete absence of all the evidence of the pre-flood world and whatever technology they developed. You have to remember, continents ceased to exist. I mean, you know, we can't imagine the violence that this was. This was not a storm. This was continental plates collapsing and dropping. What was ocean floors became dry land. What was dry land became the floors of ocean. Mountains came up overnight. The crust of the earth just was violently reshaped. And so, in verse 21, all flesh died that moved on the earth. Birds, cattle, beasts, every creeping thing creeps on the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things, the bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those that were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed, again continued to rise, on the earth for 150 days. Waters prevailed for 150 days. All life was wiped out. Only those who are with Noah survived. Only those who are in Christ will survive in the end. Only those who have faith will ultimately make it in the end. God loves you. He wants everybody to come to the knowledge and believe in his Son. And you know, if you're here today, get on board. Believe on Jesus. Believe that you're a sinner, that he died for your sin, and that he rose again. See, the ark is a picture of Christ dying, going through the waters of judgment and death, surrounded with death, enclosed and entombed, and coming out the other side in the power of the resurrection. And all that are in Christ Jesus come out the other side in resurrection. And so, be in Christ. So that when the door shuts, you'll go home with him and not be left behind. You know, if you're here, hey, just pray. Ask the Lord to forgive you and come into your heart. Give yourself to him. Understand, you can't play games with it. Noah didn't play games. God said build a boat. He built a boat, okay? When God says believe, he means believe. And it will affect your behavior. And become a witness for him. And tell this dying world, Jesus is coming soon. The age is about to end. And I am so thankful that neither you or I are going to be responsible to close that door and say it's finished. See, if it was up to me, I would have closed the door 30 years ago. And gone home. Because I'd already seen enough and had enough. I was a year old in the Lord and said, okay, we can go now. Almost all of you have gotten saved in the last 30 years. So God had good reason to keep the door open. And which one of us, once we know that, would ever close that door? We never would. But God knows the exact time, exact moment. Door closes. Then where are you? If you're not in Christ, you're in trouble. So be in Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And God, just as you were gracious to that generation and gave them so many opportunities, and yet they ignored you, God, help us to give opportunity to all who are around us to come to a knowledge of you. And Father, we pray now for any here today that don't know you, that God, they would open their hearts to you right now and accept you as their Lord and give their lives to you, that they can be on board with us. And Lord, oh God, how I fear for any who would be left behind. So Lord, anyone here, draw them now in Jesus' name. Amen.